And now I'm with Henry Evans Tenbrink, and he is a labor activist and a member of the executive of the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, where you can find the website at hcsw.ca. Henry, thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, it's not the first time, and it's not the first resolution either. Henry has been very diligent in getting valuable resolutions through Labor Council here in Hamilton on important foreign policy issues. I remember we spoke some time or a while back about the AUKUS resolution, the whole Australia, UK, US thing, where they were, you know, they had these plans for the Pacific, and they were very detrimental to safety and peace and well-being. You managed to get a resolution about the submarines and the AUKUS and all of that, if I recall. That one went pretty well. I mean, that was like unanimous, I think, right?
Yeah, it passed unanimously without any opposition at all.
Yeah, sometimes people readily understand what the problem is and what the issues are at stake. And now you have a new resolution that you were able to get before the Hamilton and District Labor Council. It's my understanding it passed 74% in favor and 22% opposed. I think people can actually find it on the website of the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. If you go there to the recent posts, the recent post section, there's a newsletter called "What a Way to Start the Year!" exclamation mark. And that is one of the recent posts. And in that newsletter, you can find Henry's resolution. It's also further back in the website as well, but you can find the resolution in the newsletter, and it's called Resolution on Indo-Pacific Strategy. So, I mean, there's probably a lot going on here. Indo-Pacific Strategy, what is this? What's this resolution about? What were you trying to address?
Well, addressing the fact that the Cold War between China and the West is being heightened at the behest of the United States, of course. We're seeing more and more money spent on militaristic adventures, such as the $500 million cost of sending a frigate to the South China Sea to train China's enemies and, fly the flag in China's face. It's the objective is to isolate China. China's seen as not only a military but an economic threat to the West and especially to the U.S. It's threatening their hegemony. In Canada, we see the healthcare system is in. Of course, it was a manufactured crisis. But they seem to have all kinds of money for militaristic adventures, as I said, and for doing things like sending tanks to Ukraine, which by the way, sets Canada on a whole new level of involvement in the war. People are have lost sight of the fact that this whole war could have been avoided by simply insisting that Ukraine remain neutral and not join NATO.
Well, I mean, you're not sitting still. This resolution addresses a particular issue of warmongering, saber-rattling, spending billions on arms in the Indo-Pacific. And I mean, I should read just a little bit about that resolution. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, whereas the Trudeau government's recently unveiled Indo-Pacific strategy amounts to a new Cold War with China, in that it includes $500 million to deploy a third naval frigate to threaten China and to train the militaries of Asian countries hostile to China. And there's more. And then it says, be it resolved that the Hamilton. I mean, they have a problem. We have a number of problems you list that are significant. And then there's some demands here, like the District Labor Council send letters to the Prime Minister and the Spectator and so forth, decrying this strategy of meddling in the internal affairs of other countries and demanding instead, as you said, that the $500 million be diverted instead to spending within Canada on climate mitigation through the creation of green jobs on healthcare, daycare, and pharmacare. So, yeah, that's exactly as you said. And we're not standing still. There's going to be a lot of events coming up very soon about war in Ukraine and other issues. the dire world situation where all of these problems we've been confronting have worsened in the past year, 2 years, 3 years with regard to China, Russia in particular, exactly. And, you know, West Asia. So you got this passed through. And I guess in terms of working people, this is the Hamilton and District Labor Council. So you're talking about geopolitics, you're talking about international affairs, but this to you, it seems that this will affect working people dramatically, the fact that Canada has engaged in policies of military buildup in Asia. So in your view, how does this affect working people?
It affects working people in that foreign policy is an issue that affects our families. It affects our ability to live life without stress. I mean, as you see, I mean, people are very stressed and worried about the issue of the war. People are afraid of the war spreading. You know, we all have families overseas, and it affects them as well. We see the price of gas going up because of this. We see the price of food going up, and it's because corporations are taking advantage of the situation to feather their own, and it has to stop.
Well, you've outlined, I think, fairly well how people dramatically are affected in a wide-scale fashion. But even though it affects workers in all sorts of ways, was this a contentious issue at the Labor Council? You presented it to them. They voted on it. Was this difficult for anyone to sort of address or process?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a difficult issue. People agreed. One steelworker disagreed because he was a veteran, and he said, oh, there's a need for the military. And he thought I was attacking the military, which I wasn't. But as you know, Brendan, I'm also a veteran. And I have a button on my hat, and it says, you know, for Remembrance Day, it says to remember is to work for peace. And that's the policy that I've always followed. To remember is not to glorify war or to support war. It's to glorify peace and support peace. Well, so no, it wasn't a really contentious issue. And as far as the executive goes, the only reason they turned it down, there was a half and half split about it. Most of them thought it would be fair to bring it directly in front of the council and let the council decide if it was important. And obviously, the members thought it was an important issue and that it should be supported.
Okay, so ultimately, you do believe that we need to remember, that we need to understand the pain and damage and limiting of human potential that is caused by wars of choice, by foreign aggression. So is that why you've sponsored so many resolutions at the District Labor Council? You know, why is it important for labor to consider these matters? Or what should the relationship be between organized labor and issues of our own foreign policy?
Well, it's important to labor because, as I said, it affects our families. It's not just a labor issue. It's a social issue. It's an issue that affects all of us. And labor is not just about, increasing wages or benefits. Labor is there, and we work hard because we believe that we have a place to play within society as well. And that includes some social policy and the betterment of not only ourselves, but our families and our friends.
You seem more articulate on this issue than many heads of unions in Canada, I have to say. I see you're keeping abreast of the news. So, I mean, this whole balloon thing that's been in the news, everyone's talking about it. I know it's quite ridiculous, but I mean, is there a relationship between like this balloon and our Indo-Pacific strategy? Like, is there some kind of pattern where we have all sorts of initiatives, as you could call them, towards China and Asia, East Asia now, and these heightened tensions and episodes and provocations?
Yeah, it's an attempt to to in the eyes of the populace to vilify, and not only China but Russia. I mean, we see this all the time, where in our own backyard, for example, in Venezuela, when the United States didn't like that Venezuela was a social country, they believed strongly in social policies and supporting their people, and the oil industry and other industries within Venezuela felt threatened, and so thankfully they failed. The people of Venezuela are stronger than people here, this whole issue of the weather balloons as well. I mean, they sent up fighter jets to shoot down a balloon. Well, in my way of thinking, I think it's a way of justifying to purchase the F-35s, which, by the way, is not a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. It's a bomber. It's not designed for protecting our country, air-to-air aircraft, air surveillance aircraft, and that, I mean, which would make more sense. And not that I think we should buy more aircraft, period. But the F-35 is a real, it's not even designed for effective operation within our Arctic area. So it's very limited in its use. And it's an airplane that's designed to kill people.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the best defensive interceptor. And I'm sure this balloon thing will be used regardless of, what fighters shoot down balloons. It's going to be used to call for more money for NORAD and call for more money for Air Force acquisition of whatever things that they want. So that's probably
and
how
it's... And also, Brendan, what does it say for Canada that we're depending on Americans to come in and we can't even shoot down balloons? They have to shoot down balloons for us.
Well, it's just part of the whole embarrassment of being part of NATO these days, right? Being a vassal to the United States and so on. And I guess that's kind of where I wanted to finish off, because there's, obviously you've shown that you're very critical of our foreign policy, and being part of NATO, being part of military adventures, being part of saber rattling in the Pacific. So given that you're critical of all of that, what kind of foreign policy do you think organized labor or left-wing party, what are they supposed to be pushing for in place of AUKUS and an Indo-Pacific strategy?
Well, first of all, Brendan, in my mind, Canada doesn't have a foreign policy. Our foreign policy is foisted on us by the U.S. It's time that Canada formulated its own foreign policy. And even the NDP, I mean, which I've always been a strong supporter of, but that support is waning due to the fact that they seem to be jumping on board with the sending tanks to Ukraine and supporting the purchase of the F-35s So I always thought that the NDP was supposed to be a party that supported human rights and social issues, but that doesn't seem to be the case so much anymore. So I think, first of all, Canada needs to develop its own foreign policy outside of influence of the U.S. And that would be the place to start, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a start, because we haven't done that. We have not developed our own foreign policy or even thought about what that would look like. So right now it's just following the U.S. off a cliff, essentially, for anyone that's been watching. So I agree that that's the perfect starting point. It's the perfect ending point for us today, but it's the perfect starting point for Canada. What would an independent foreign policy look like? We're going to be having a lot of events in the next days, on February 19, on February 25, on March, whatever. There's all this stuff going on now. People are starting to wake up, even if the NDP is not waking up, even if some trade unions have not woken up necessarily. There's nonetheless actually an uptick in activity.
Yeah, and in answer to that one question at the end there, Brendan, I think a good start for Canada's foreign policy would be one that fights for peace rather than supporting warmongering and supplying weapons to existing wars and heating things up and it's time we looked at Canada. In the past was looked at a nation that supported peace and fought for peace, even though that may not have always been true. But it's something Canada has to strive for again.
Well, I know that there's many people in the country that would support such an initiative. I've spoken with many of them, and so I think you're right. So that's great. Well, thanks for being on the program, Henry. We'll be hearing from Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War and all of our initiatives in the upcoming minutes, hours, days, weeks. So thanks, and we'll see you at the events.
Thank you, Brendan, and that was my pleasure. Always happy to be here for you.